Blog Talk Radio.
Inside around the world live. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our program. We have a special guest coming up tonight, Tracy Garner, who is a best-selling author and writer. And we'll be talking to her about her new book and some of the challenges that you have to meet as a disabled writer. Inner Sight, brought to you by the Big East, the Key to Rescue, Toms River, New Jersey, 609-388-7004, Adopt an Akita. Joanne Diamond, the Akita lady, and I want to thank them for all their help and all their food that they've given my guide dog. Greatly appreciate that. Toms River, New Jersey, Big East, Akita Rescue. Hey, my buddy in Islip, New York, Kennedy Realty, one of our supporters. Kennedy Realty, we appreciate Mr. Kennedy. Oh, you want to buy a house, sell a house, or just get some good info on that real estate market? 631-888-1186, Kennedy Realty. If you need dog food, cat food, right here locally on Long Island. Nobody starves on Long Island is the name of Gary's program. And you simply call him. I'll give you the number in a minute. Dog food, cat food, other animal food that he has, and sometimes he's able to help you with veterinarian costs. So give Gary a call. Nobody starves on Long Island. 631-484-3085. Tell him you heard it right here on Inner Sight. All the beautiful children of the world and some of those who have passed away, Corey, Avante, Baby Royalty, Little Tommy, Ollie Campbell, and we honor those and all the children. I heard a very, very disturbing story before I came on the air, reported by CNBC, that a pharmacy in Virginia had gave 120 children the wrong vaccine or didn't administer it right. The details weren't given, but just the headline. I don't know what pharmacy it was, but beware. Beware of that vaccine as it is, but even worse when you, you know, that now I just get the feeling that they're rushing it to give the children. Remember, as many of people have pointed out already, that natural immunity is starting to set in on the virus. So I wouldn't recommend that vaccine.
No.
All right. Inner Sight around the world. And let's see. I want to thank my couple of people to thank. Suffolk Bus Corp. My buddy John for a new supporter of Inner Sight. We greatly
appreciate
that.
Much so. Yeah.
What?
Very
Hello?
Much so. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, you're there. Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I have been.
All right. And we'll be bringing Tracy on in just a few minutes. We're on television tonight. We were on 7:30 all over Long Island, Altice, Channel 20. We're still on rerun because they haven't opened up the studio yet. But we hope to get back in there after the first of the year. All right. Manhattan Neighborhood Network. Now, that you can pick up anywhere in the world on Channel 3, 11 o'clock, Wednesday night, 1997, if you're on the Manhattan cable. But Channel 3 on the Spirit. 3 on the Spirit Channel. That's Wednesday night. 11 p.m. I always say, don't watch the news. Watch InnerSight.
That's right.
All right. And thank you to all of our friends. Yes, tonight, a great, great author, great lady, and in talking to her a few times before she came on the show, you know, before we had her on, coming to realize that she's a great, great advocate for
which is great.
Those who are disabled. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, let's get Tracy Garner, world.
Here she is.
Hello.
Hi. How are you guys? Hi, Frank. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you finally.
Doing good. Thank you. Yes, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we're very happy to have you on the show, and I was thinking the first question I was thinking of is, When did you become a writer? How long ago?
Well, I think I have always been a writer, honestly. I am 45 years young right now. I just had a birthday in October, but since I was in elementary school, my mom was telling me that I was writing little stories, and I loved the time for circle time, for story time, listening to my teachers tell stories and bring characters to life, but also just writing them whenever we had assignments. But I really pursued my writing in college when I won a contest hosted by a large publishing house. I was about 24, and I won a contest that was hosted. I was having a hard time in school. And so I just said, you know, I need something else in case this whole school thing doesn't work out. I need something to fall back on. So writing just helped me, you know, actually improve my grades, helped me do better in school. It gave me, you know, validity and, you know, people who read my stuff encouraged me to write. And so when I won the contest, part of the deal was to get your book published, and I got a trip to New York, which I love New York, down here in Virginia. And I got the book published.
What were you studying in school? What did you want to be?
I was actually just doing my associate's degree in liberal arts. And that, the math portion of that, if you're a writer, a lot of writers don't like math. I'm one of them. I hate math and numbers with a passion. So that was like my hugest barrier, trying to get my academics completed and just get out of school so I could move on to something else or move on to a four-year school, which I did.
Oh, don't worry. I hated math, too.
Yeah, but I think just because
like
of the
it.
Contest.
Yeah,
it was so hard for me. I just did not do well in math. But
it was a struggle.
Right. Hold it. When you were in school, when you started out as a writer, first of all, do you want to tell everybody about your disability?
Sure. I have muscular dystrophy. I was diagnosed at age 2 years old. You're born with muscular dystrophy. It takes time sometimes to manifest itself. So people of all ages get diagnosed at any age, from adolescence to infancy, all the way up until their adult years. But I have spinal muscular atrophy, SMA. And there's three types, I think. I'm not sure which one I have. But, yeah, I've had muscular dystrophy for forever. And so just learn to adapt, learn to, you know, embrace it and just work with it as best I can.
So when you started out as a writer, you were obviously disabled, right?
I was, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've been disabled my entire life, yeah.
Yeah,
What were some of the hurdles and challenges that you had to get over?
I think,
coming
you know,
up as
you
a
really
writer?
Have to, honestly, sometimes when you're born with a disability, I think hurdles don't really present themselves until you're much older. I think that up until my 20s, maybe my even early 30s, you know, it was kind of like didn't really have a disability. I didn't feel special treatment. Of course, there were obstacles and prejudices in work and trying to get a job, but it was confronted by those things that, I feel disabled because I'm having these, you know, these hiccups and these barriers and these speed bumps that I'm trying to get over. But I think that a lot of it stems from how your parents treat you, and if they act like things are pretty normal, but also, you know, support you and make some concessions in your physical abilities, then I think you have a much better, much better opportunity to handle it. I really think those first few years are really going to set the tone. Am I going to be okay with this and do what I need to do, or I'm going to wither and die and always feel like this is just, you know, a death
sentence.
I think that, you know,
how many
examples from my parents made a difference.
Excuse me. How many books have you written, Tracy?
I've written 15 books. My 15th book is coming out in January. This book on disability that I have coming out in just a little bit. It's already available on pre-order. But it's only my third nonfiction book.
You said where is it available?
It's available.
Wait a minute.
I want to find out first.
I want to find out first, what were your books about, all the others, the first
all
one?
All the others are romantic, romantic suspense. I love writing about people, relationships and people falling in love. So all about, you know, romance and mostly African-American romance and, you know, the obstacles and things people go through in order to find love. So they're always ending happily because that's what I enjoyed writing. But I've written, you know, a couple nonfiction books too. But my heart is really in romance. I'll never stop writing.
Oh, so you wrote romantic novels?
Yeah, romantic suspense. The little car chases and little fires and somebody trying to kill you thrown in. The adventurous sort.
Well,
have you ever
I'm a white guy. Italian, and I have had over the years, I've had several black girlfriends.
Oh, wow. You know? Girlfriend?
Yeah. So I remember one girlfriend I had, beautiful girl, you know, and very passionate inside. But when we were outside, boy, was she jumpy. Don't put your arm around me. Don't touch me, you know. I mean, I don't know what was going through her mind, but what does that happen often with white and black couples?
No, not at all. I think that, you know, maybe she just didn't like public displays of affection, PDA. So, you know, everybody's different, but, you know, not me. Fine, show me all the affection that you want to. But to your question, Suzanne, I am not a ghostwriter, but I do coach people in their book quest. If they want to publish a book, I read their work. I coach them through trying to get more words on the paper and also help them publish their books once they are done with the writing part. So not quite a ghostwriter.
What do you have, a group? You got a group?
I have several students that I work with individually. I thought about group coaching, but students just come to me, you know, adults, people who want to publish their book and have a dream of writing and publishing their book, and we just work one-on-one. And, you know, I'm with them for anywhere from 3 months is like a baseline, all the way up until a year, 2 years. I'm working with someone on their children's book right now, and I also do adult fiction and nonfiction and self-help books.
Yeah, mine would be
about
my life.
What do you charge for that?
What do you charge for that?
I charge, anywhere from $350 to $500 for like a three-month program. In 2022, the prices are going to go up a little bit, but I always have specials and coupons for people to use because if you really want to get your book out there, I really want to help you. And so it's
my main reason is.
I'm sorry.
My main reason is because I don't have the ability to type it well because I'm visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing impaired, and I have problems with my hands, they tremor because I have a neurological, mm-hmm. a severe neurological condition. And, of course, the Commission for the Blind hasn't provided me with the proper equipment fully yet, so I'm waiting
right.
for just a simple headset, and they want me to prove all my finances again. So, I mean, and they've had me mm-hmm. held down for over, 8 years now. So it's been a pain in the butt.
Yeah. I totally understand what it's like, the struggle. I had that
yeah.
same experience, you know, learning to drive and get my modified vehicle and get the equipment paid for just so I could have my freedom. But, you know, we can talk offline. I'm sure there are ways
yeah.
we can do some dictation and get your words out so you can listen back over to them, recording them, just speaking
yeah.
them. I even use, even though I type really well, I still use, just open a Google Doc and just start talking. You click on the microphone button and you just start
yeah.
talking. Of course, there are some errors, but you'll be able to find them and fix them, and just listening to it played back to you. The voice recognition software has just, you know, been phenomenal in its updates and its ability to recognize your speech pattern and learn what you're saying. So, you know, don't let that be a deterrent if you want to, you know, talk
well,
about that
at
some point.
They gave me Drag and Dictate. They gave me Drag and Dictate.
You don't even need Dragon. Dragon
okay.
is so difficult. You know, I don't want to – Dragon has been a godsend for some people, but the deterrence of Dragon is just how long it takes to learn.
Yeah.
And if you speak, you know, without any real speech impediment or don't have any thick accents, I talked to someone in Australia the other day, and he was telling me about a podcast software that is able to recognize his thick accent really well with just, you know, minimal errors, and he's using that. And so, you know, if you want to talk about that, that's probably a whole different show. It's just the technology that is out there for
so
people
now
to
I wanna,
get words
excuse
down.
Me, Trace, I want to talk about you. You went from writing romantic books to a book
mm-hmm.
on the disabled. That's your latest book, right?
Yeah.
On the disabled?
Yes. It's my latest
what's
book.
The title
it's
of
my
it?
My third nonfiction book. It's called Disability and Anecdotal Field Guide for the Rest of Us.
Wow.
Disability
wow.
and a
guide
mouthful. For the rest of us?
And yeah, anecdotal. It's full of anecdotal advice about my journey. I have 9 topics. The topics are employment, caregiving, emergency preparedness,
nice.
Physical and mental health, and
wow.
also advocacy and just my experience in those areas. What I really hope to do is it's volume one. It's on the front of the book. It says volume one. But in volume two, I'm inviting other people with disabilities to come and share their own experiences and offer, you know, their articles and essays in order to do volume 2 and 3. I really hope to get to volume 5. We'll see. But right now I know there's at least my volume of all my stories and essays, and then I hope to do subsequent volumes that you and even Suzanne can contribute to, too, with a different subject
yeah, okay.
that you'd like to
I'll
share.
Help you.
Now,
yeah.
it's how we publish Suzanne's book using
uh-huh.
artificial intelligence and technology. Right? That's
yeah,
what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Well, what is
I
your...
I book launch
yeah.
Before we try to see if there's any phone calls, what is your, if any, what is your solution to this problem that we have where we're not equal? Do you present that in the book? Do you have any
this problem that we
inclination
have
toward
what?
That?
When we're not equal.
The what?
Man, that's a lot. Yeah, that is a, you know, bajillion-dollar question, right? I think that, you know, we have to level the playing field, which we do every single day. We have to give people opportunities and see the contributions they could make. I mean, people being out in the mainstream, us as people with disabilities, you know, really kind of coming out and, you know, showing the world what we can do is slowly changing minds. The
oh, yeah.
problem is, as soon as you change just a few minds, there's a million more, you know, who've been living under a rock who also need their minds changed. And so it's kind of a never-ending battle, never-ending cycle. It's like, oh, man, I encountered another ignorant person. I thought I'd met the last one, you know, but it's like they're everywhere.
So do you think
they're
it's gotten better or worse
everywhere
over the last 20 years?
I think it's gotten better. I really do. I think it's gotten better.
You?
First of all, there's more of us.
I think it's gotten worse.
I think that we are making our presence known. I think that we continue to fight every single day. But I also know that, you know, people get tired. You know, when you're confronted with things as an advocate every single day on for your own battles and the battles that you do on behalf of other people. And I'll also say that cynicism kind of comes with age, Frank. I've noticed that when as I get older, I'm just becoming more like, man, this is like never ending. This is never changing. But I'm just an optimistic person that I believe that eventually things do change. It's slow. And sometimes you have to take a break from trying to be the change maker and let other people do it. But I'm encouraged. Let's say I'm both encouraged and terrified by millennials. I'm just going to say that everywhere I go on every interview. But I'm scared of some that, you know, may have a, you know, a mentality of just, you know, their way or no way. But I'm also encouraged by those who are there. They're participating more with people with disabilities than we did as children. And so by people being in your own classroom, they're helping to solve problems that, you know, our generation didn't get to solve because we weren't commingling. And so I think that that is where things are going to improve, because you have one child that has autism, you know, in a sea of 30 kids who are, quote, unquote, typically functioning. You know, we'll see when they become adults, did they really typically function. But my point is that they're more willing because it's just right there in their face, whereas sometimes people with disabilities were off only amongst ourselves. And so that is just such a sad thing. Like, I know that even some of my friendships have been stinted or even not been able to form because I was bussed out of my community growing up, you know, in the 80s and early 90s. You know, I graduated in 95 from high school, and, you know, being bussed three separate times. I went to K through 6. I was at one school that wasn't in my neighborhood.
I had a fight to go to a better school.
Yeah,
what,
but
what nationality
that
are you, Tristan?
I'm African American. You when you're a child, you have to do what the adults say. And so now that they want to integrate more, I think that we can only be helped because people will see more of us in their day to day, and we won't be a community just siloed and siphoned off.
They
want
to
send
me to a trade
school. I think
the problem is, it's very evident. There hasn't been one president in this country who got elected and became president and said, "I'm going to make it so that every person who's disabled is equal, just like every person who's not disabled." That's what hasn't happened. There have been all kinds of stupid programs, and the money got removed here, but not one president has said, "Give me the most non-disabled person, and I want to make it so that every disabled person is equal like that person." I always use the example, you take somebody who comes from a foreign country, right? They're not disabled. They can walk, they can talk, they can see, right? All they got to do is learn English, and they're equal. How do we do that?
I don't think that's true, because there was so much prejudice. So
it is
true.
They can do everything. They can read everything. I'm not talking about you'll never stop hatred. That you'll never.
Oh, no, that's totally different. Yeah,
I'm talking about being equal on a level where you can read every sign, every window.
It's
every,
more like
you know,
we don't have the basics, just the plain old basics. You know, the basics are missing with our, with people with disabilities. The you could learn English and say, for example, you took away the bias. Okay, now this person can go and the person knows English, the bias is gone, for example, just for argument's sake. Now they can easily go and get
a job. That's if they're not disabled.
But now, if you're disabled or say you're visually impaired also, you go to fill out that application, you can't. It's not in a format that, you know, for you, and you're told that, oh, and the job itself is not made to accommodate you. It doesn't have to be accommodate you either. You know, you it's like half and half. It's like partially made, and they don't have to make that job for you. You could, you know, the best thing for a person, you know, with a visual disability is to have everything made properly. But it's not going to happen that way.
The government didn't make it for us. Let me you one.
I'm not sure that can be blamed on one sole person, though. Certainly not the president or any president that we have. But it's a lot of people. Just like, you know, all of us could be qualified for the same position, but depending on our appearance, we're judging people based on their appearance and the way they speak and the color of their skin. So there are a lot of factors that create bias. And, you know,
when I go for a job and I'm blind and I can't read the damn thing, I'm not being judged on can I do the job or not. I'm being judged that I'm blind because it's not there for me to read
it. I would
argue
that you are being judged. People are presuming that people with disabilities, with whatever they have, are automatically
right.
Left.
I'll give you two scenarios.
Or not because you haven't tried.
If it was there for us to read, they wouldn't be able to do that. They'd have to judge us on can this person do the job. I'm not going to hire you because you can't read it or you know, you can't see what's there. That's my point.
But it has
now, let me
it
give
has
you one. I want to give you one more example. I've been trying to get an accessible pedestrian signal put up in my neighborhood here for the last 4 years.
I remember
all the drivers can obviously read the traffic lights.
Right.
I can't, you know.
That's right.
There's no law. There's no enforcement. Maybe there's a half-assed law, but there's no enforcement. They get away with it, you know. And I got across the street not knowing what the light says. Nobody else has to do that. Only a blind person, a person who's disabled. We're not
I had
equal.
Somebody scream at me, Frank. Why are you crossing the street that way? Because I can't see it, dumbass. Excuse me.
but people who aren't native English speakers do have that problem, too. You know, it's not universal that they would understand as soon as they come here, all of the English, whatever the language is, there are also barriers for them too. I understand about
not
it.
Like
and
the
that,
ones we have.
That's crazy.
What are their barriers
for people
what?
to understand? Not understanding the language, not knowing.
But they can learn the language if they can see, and they can hear, and they can walk.
But that takes time. That does take time. They don't learn it right off the bat.
Time.
It takes time.
But you know it's there. You know you can do it. We can't learn something and now we're equal.
Well, here's
the
difference. And I understand what Frank is saying, and I understand what you're saying.
Right.
But the difference
this
is
this hasn't been addressed by the disabled community.
No, it hasn't. The thing is that when you are going in front of, like, say, a political official and you want to change that, okay, you can't get that change. And so it's still lacking that piece of information that you need. So that's a problem. You know, you're not getting that piece of information. You're not getting, say, everything labeled properly. Like, say you go on the streets and you want to find, you know, your nearest Starbucks and your nearest Starbucks has an address. You should be able to go to a corner of a building, have a little label there, and you know that that's Starbucks, first of all. You know that it has an address. You know it has a phone number. It has all of the things that everybody else could see.
I can't even find a bus stop in my neighborhood.
I can't either. You know,
right.
It's really...
There are a number of things. There
we're
are
not
some
equal.
Curb cuts that I don't
no,
have to cross the street or to have to go out in the street to get to them because one curb cut is like a crater.
Do you know how many times I've almost gotten run over?
Well,
I've had to cross against the light.
That's a universal thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very difficult.
All of this is creating buy-in. How can we get those people who are in a position to make those changes to understand our plight and then to buy into what we're saying.
What needs to be done.
You need enforcement.
No,
you need to put their ass in jail, the people who don't do this for us. That's the answer.
You need to
enforce the law so that a person can be equal.
That's
I mean,
true.
It's dangerous to cross the street and you can't read the light.
It is very dangerous.
They should be arrested for that.
They won't act until you get hit. Or until somebody dies. That's when they put in the speed bumps.
No, that doesn't even happen.
That's happened, and they still didn't fix all the lights.
That's right. Right in my neighborhood, right in front of where I live, okay, there's a corner I call affectionately Killer Corner because it is a killer corner, you know, and I say, oh, my goodness, this is what...
I'm not saying that all this other stuff is no good and good for nothing. I'm saying... that it doesn't matter that much if you don't have enforcement. I mean, I can't even go to a guidebook school and get a federal hearing if I'm denied the dog. My eyes, my life.
Mm-hmm.
How can you say we're equal? And I met with my congressman 2 months ago. He hasn't done a damn thing. I told him, I said, all you got to do is amend this stupid ADA. I think the ADA has made it worse for us.
It has, actually.
Thousands
you know why?
Worse.
Because it makes you stuck in court.
I think we
wait, let Tracy talk. What did you say, Trace?
I said I can't agree that the ADA has made it worse. There's a lot of things we've gained, and you're right. Enforcement is a huge problem. It's almost like the law
what have we gained?
Because there's no enforcement. Well, we've gained some transportation stuff. I used to use Megabus because they didn't have any accessible seating. Now we're able to travel on Megabus. They are working on ensuring that there was an article the other day about using your own wheelchair to get on the plane. That would be such a game changer.
Oh,
for
that
me.
Would be great.
Well, we've been talking about that for years.
We've been pushing for it.
What it is there's not enough people with disabilities to work on everything that needs to change. So
I don't believe that. You don't need enough. One is enough for me.
That's true.
But now, here's my question.
There's
okay.
So many issues. You have your issues in your neighborhood. I have issues in my neighborhood. We can't see to them all. We shouldn't have to, but we still can't be on the picket lines 24/7 and still be expected to live our life and get our own things done. That's part of the problem, too.
Now, here's the thing, all right? They're gonna let's assume that they're gonna do these things. Let's say whatever way they're gonna do it. Where's the enforcement on it?
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. That is part of the problem.
Suppose one airline says, "Nah, we're not gonna do this. We don't want
that's
it."
True.
The other one
true.
Go to the other
but
place.
There's
the enforcement? What is the enforcement?
There's going to be some companies that are going to do it and say, "Wow, I'm so sorry that I never thought about this. This is something that I should have been
thought about."
Yeah, but
that's a bunch
about.
Of bull. They know.
It's terrible.
Come on, man.
That's what we're all doing. We're all focused on our own thing. We don't have time to think about any other groups and what they need.
But you know what? It should have been made into the airplane from the beginning. And you know what? If we all, as disabled people, join together and think of it as, oh, that's my comrade, okay, in a sense, you know, and say, I'm going to fight for him or her like I would fight for myself, then I do all of this voluntarily. I am always available for InnerSight voluntarily. I don't get paid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. When everybody gets together and fights for one cause, and then you're fighting in a protest for one cause, and it's not going to be, oh, I lay down on the street, you hop out of my wheelchair and fight. No,
mm-hmm.
you have one message, you fight for that one message for that day, and that's what you
but
fight for.
But it doesn't
like,
mean anything if you don't have enforcement.
That's right. So
well,
you got to fight for that
saying.
First.
Nobody has
enough.
To do it.
There isn't enough to go around.
You have to
there
fight
enough.
For that first.
Everyone's working kind of independently on things that matter to them. And when it doesn't matter to another person,
we're for all disabled
you're not
people.
Going to get help.
We do
of
shows every
are.
Night on all different
on all
types of disabilities. And
yeah,
we want
we
enforcement.
We talk about all of it.
But
let me get back to your book.
There's cancer.
Give the title again, please.
Yes. Disability and Anecdotal Field Guide for the Rest of Us.
Oh, nice.
All right. Now, let me ask you, how does your book offer help to people with disabilities?
Well, I broke the book down into kind of three parts for each chapter.
Okay.
I talk a little bit about advocacy and who someone, you know, for the section on advocacy, let's say, for example. I talk about, you know, who were my first role models and two programs that I went through for advocacy and my issues with advocacy. My parents were the greatest demonstrators for me, you know, advocating for me in IEP meetings and in other things where they wanted to give me an opportunity and a chance. And then at the end, after my essay about the subject, I have a list of they're almost checklists for people. You know, do you have your story ready at the drop of a hat? You have your story, Frank, about what you're doing to try to get the signage in your neighborhood and get the things accessible. And then there's action items on how everyone else, if they all wanted to help Frank or help Suzanne with their cause, how they could go about doing that and being a supporter. So in each of those areas, there's key takeaways. There's my essay. And then at the end, it says, take action, and here's how. So I've broken all nine chapters down into that similar format.
Do you have anything in your book on strict enforcement, on making many things criminal to interfere with a disabled person's life?
No, for me, my book really was a personal story and kind of a handbook, and I also wanted to keep it positive. I don't want to get anybody arrested just yet unless that's what they really want to do. They find
I
a cause
do.
Passionate, passionate enough
it.
For them. You can handle it, Frank. Some people still got to keep their security clearances and go to work the next morning and be out of jail by then to do so.
Yeah,
but
you can get
my
in.
Point is,
right.
yeah, that my point is that it's about, you know, I want people to go to the book and say, I'm having this issue right now. What does Tracy say about advocacy? You know, even in the emergency preparedness chapter, you know, most of us don't have a backup plan for a major emergency. You know, disability, I feel like, is an emergency in and of itself. If one little wheel is busted, it upsets the whole apple cart. You know, what do you do when you're looking at your wheelchair broke down? The enforcement, yes, but you don't have that right then. That is the least of your worries. You need to survive, and you need to live. So, you know, enforcement is great, but what are we enforcing? Do you want to get shelter first and get stabilized and get, you know, get out of your elements and breathe and live and be able to eat?
Well,
and after we get you back on your feet, then we can worry about enforcement.
You know, if they
I'm
had
talking
to
about
make...
an emergency.
Yeah, me too. Emergency, how about all the people – in nursing homes. Isn't it an emergency that they should get the hell out of there? You know?
I agree.
So how are they
it
supposed to get out of
yes.
there
it's a
when every eligible apartment is not accessible?
That's
There's
right.
your enforcement,
mm-hmm.
and it's not being done.
Mm-hmm.
There's
However,
the answer.
What if two people got together and say, we can pool our resources and we can find a place and we can share a caregiver You know, we have to think outside the box.
Yeah,
you
know
how
long
that
would
take
to find the
person.
Right place?
I don't
want to
live with
sometimes.
That person.
Yeah.
It does take years. But also people also don't want to live for just a little while together and put up with maybe your roommate's kind of gross and nasty. Put up with that for a little bit, a little while in order to get, save up enough to move out.
Right. You can save money that way, and you
could
save money to, you know, move out and get a better situation. You know, some people rather live in homeless shelters. I find that to be a strange breed of people, but, you know, I wouldn't, you know, put anything.
A lot of homeless sometimes they can't get along. They don't want to put up. Thanks, Frank. It's fine. I'm sorry, Suzanne. I was listening to some of your early podcasts, and you guys' banter is so funny. I'm like, are they joking? Are they mad at each other? I think they're okay. You guys are like family and sister and brother.
Oh, no,
almost.
We're okay.
But,
we sometimes just get, like, a little hot-headed about we're passionate
about the issues.
So because we're not mad at each other. We never were.
Good,
the secret
though.
Is we're never mad at each other. We're just very passionate about the issues. And half the time I don't hear what's going on. So seriously,
wait, get along too. I didn't hear you. What are you talking to me? But no,
when does the book come out? January?
Population. January 7th. It'll be out.
How can people get it?
Free order. They can go on Amazon and get it. It'll be available in ebook, hardcover, and paperback. And I'm also recording the chapters soon where people will just be able to listen and download them at my website.
Okay. Was that for Kindle or is that for Audible?
I won't be putting it probably on Audible or Kindle. It'll just be something you can go on the website, hit play, and listen to. Almost like a podcast.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Explain to the audience, what is Kindle?
Kindle is the e-book reader for Amazon. Like Nook is the e-book reader for Barnes & Noble.
That's correct.
But Kindle,
audio is the...
Speaking of Kindle...
You can listen to it yourself, right?
Right. Audible,
You can listen to it and narrate it. I really want to narrate it myself. It's a long process. It's taken a long time, but it is definitely making sure my own voice comes through.
I'm sure your book has a lot of good points, you know. But a guy like me would find it very boring.
That's okay, Frank. There's an audience for everything.
That doesn't mean I find you boring.
Not at all. I didn't take it that way at all.
You know,
good.
I appreciate your honesty. But
you know
Frank,
why? He doesn't like traditional stuff, I don't think.
Frank's already learned it all. This is for people who are still looking for, you know, new ideas. Frank's a tough cookie, and he's already...
Let me ask you
You're supposed to be working on your own book, too.
Oh, I am, Well, my book's going to knock them from here to hell. I may not be able to get a publisher because,
I think you will.
You don't know.
There's a publisher for everybody.
Did you write anything in your book at all about guide dogs?
I did not write about assistance dogs, but in volume 2, if you'd like to contribute to that chapter, it's all yours. I don't have somebody for that yet, so think about that.
Oh, yeah, the definite story there. I'll tell you one story. A woman who was my co-host on television, totally blind, went to 2 different guide dog schools, and was trained with the dog, never gave it to her. We estimate they raised about $250,000 from the public. You know, I was on here. She came back here to New York and was denied by the big school out here. You know, I was on the phone with her to the Commission for the Blind, and we tried to get this commissioner guy to do something. Well, he was so damn indifferent.
I remember to the point where he was
almost hostile toward us. You know, and no law, no hearing. You know, they kept the money they raised, and she never got her dog. 15 years she went through this.
That's so sad. I had that similar experience with my van and trying to get my
van
vehicle
was
modifications.
Too.
Wait a minute.
My
that
van.
Story that should be in the
Wait,
next
let
volume.
Tracy tell a story.
Go ahead, Suzanne.
Go ahead.
I had a similar experience with Vested. When I went, the guy retired, you know, the counselor retired, and when he was actually the head of that Vested location. So he retired and had, you know, they gave him a good package to retire, so he went on it. And he still is a friend of mine now, but the person who came to replace him changed his mind, and I had already bought the vehicle. The vehicle was mine, but I couldn't get it accessible. So we have to put it out to bid. I said, well, then go ahead and put it out to bid. Otherwise, I'm going to fair hearing. That's before I met you, Frank. They put it out to bid, and it took them a whole year to get my van modified, a whole year. And meanwhile, my van almost didn't start or anything. It was 60 grand of modifications they weren't going to give me. I said, you're preventing me from going to work. You got to do this. You know, and finally they did.
Well, you're lucky you had a law. You don't have a law when it's a guy's situation.
Well, yeah. But the thing is that I had to fight hard for it. Otherwise, they were going to deny me. I had him call.
My battle took 7 years of denial.
Yeah, but it's easier to
fight
when you have a law.
Oh, my. Did they pay for the van?
They paid for some of it and the modifications.
See, they didn't pay for any of my van, not a penny. I had to use my past plan.
It took a long time, almost 10 years. I understand. I'm sure we're not the only people that have been through that, but these are the tips and advice that I'm talking about in my new book, you know, how to navigate that. And
somebody
also,
said to me,
what do you do when you get rejected? And you have major defeat as a person with disability, too.
You keep fighting. That's what you do.
You do keep fighting,
you know what?
But it's hard.
It might be getting a little angry at them, but you know what? That little anger fuels you to get to the next fight. Honestly, that's how I deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's
let's take a break. Let me make an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Or two. Talking with Tracy Garner, a very prominent writer of many, many books. And we'll continue in a minute or so. Don't forget, tomorrow night on Inner Sight, the funnies.
Yeah.
You want to hear some cool, really weird stuff, tune in tomorrow night. We're going to tell you my old school chum, Dinnigan, who was a regular riot, you know. I'll tell you the time when he decided to play a baseball game in the classroom. With a ball and a bat. So we'll tell you about that. All right.
And
so Laurel Hardy will be here with the modern day stuff on that, and we'll do a little Sanford and Son and all that tomorrow. And Louie will be here. Louie the Lip.
Yeah, Louie popped in on this call. I don't know if you want to take his call right now.
Unless he has a question for Tracy.
Maybe he does. Hold on, let me see. Yeah, he's still there.
Tracy, take a phone call.
Sure. Oh,
yeah,
of course. Go ahead.
Louis
is
developmental disabled, so he's a cool guy.
Yeah, okay. He's a very cool guy. Hey, Lou.
All
here
right.
He comes.
Let's take a call. Louis on Inside Live.
I can't open the mic. I don't know why. Hold on. That's bizarre.
Here
all right, let me be
special.
No, it's not opening. Hold on, let me try again. I'm refreshing
right.
the screen. Give me a second. Oh, jeez. I hate this thing.
All right. The
technical
book will be out in January.
Here's Lou.
Yes, January 7th. It will be live.
Oh, nice. Hey, Louie.
Hi there.
Hey,
Louie,
you there?
Hi, Louie.
Yeah, this is Louie the Lip on the line here.
Hi, Louie.
How
you
doing,
Mr. Luke? Lip?
Say hello to Tracy.
We talk... Who, what?
Say hello to Tracy.
Okay. Tracy.
Hi, Louie. How are you?
Hi. Hi, Tracy. How you doing? I'm Louie Rivera. I do the Follics on Friday night on the Blog Talk Radio.
I heard. It sounds like a lot of fun. I'll have to call back in and listen in.
Oh, it is fun. Yeah. You could, if you have any talent for anything, we even, you know, invite you to, you know, do any talent.
Sure, I could do my stand-up routine. I'll just be sitting down, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, we want you to stand up.
Oh, that'd be nice, too. I can't stand up too well either. I shake, so it don't work.
Shake, rattle, and
roll.
Did
we have a question?
Hey, I've got a question for you. Are you Tracy? This is Louie Rivera from the Inner Sight Follics on a Friday night. I do a comedian. I was doing Jerry Lewis, Rosanna Dana, and all that. I do Pat Cooper and all comedians. I'm doing imitation.
How about Beavis and Butthead?
That's my dad, so I'm a Jerry kid.
Oh, you are?
I know him well. Yep.
Louie, what's your question?
My question is, Tracy, listen to this. I was doing comedian, May Pateni. I'm doing Jerry Lewis. Hello, my name is Jerry Lewis. I'm talking to Rosanna Dana. I'm Pat Cooper on a Friday night. Talk about the swab. And I'm hilarious with those ladies, tickle your fancy.
Okay.
We still don't know what your question is.
I think
tell me what's my question.
He doesn't have a question.
He had a little
Sandria
this evening.
Jerry Lewis reincarnate.
There you go.
I think his question is, do you like his imitation?
Yeah. I do. It was very funny.
All right.
I'm sorry. Listen to this. Hey, Tracy, listen to this.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm a soul, a little kitten of a tree. Baby, change into
a
clown. I don't understand.
You are a clown.
And where about you be?
A little bit of everything.
All right. Save it for
tomorrow
night.
Yeah, he is. He's a variety show sometimes, and he makes you laugh.
All right, in a sight.
Hey, Suzanne, how I do on a Friday night? I did a great job on doing a comedian and doing entertaining Rosanna Dana and Jerry Lewis and Pat Cooper.
We love you, so that's why you're on every Friday night.
Yeah. I got the swap with me. I got to find that lady. I got to find Rosanna down. We can go to the bathroom, look for Pat Cooper.
As long as Pat Cooper doesn't walk into the wrong bathroom, Rosanna Dana can walk into the wrong bathroom. Okay?
Yeah.
Louie,
Tracy writes books. She's a writer.
Oh, how many books do you write? Any novel, any topic?
Yeah, I've written a bunch of novels, romantic suspense, and I've written a self-help book on disability. So I enjoy it so much, and that's what we were talking about tonight. Yeah. How about you, Louie? Do you want to write a book? Or who were some of your greatest advocates when you were coming up?
I'm a musician and I'm a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I play percussion.
Who helped you when you grew up? Sorry.
Huh?
Who helped you when you grew up with your disability and made it easy for you?
Disability?
Who helped you?
I think I used to go to high school. I graduated in 77.
Okay. And did they help somebody
school.
Help you there?
No, they don't help me. I do my math. I do my English class and all that stuff.
I think his
so
mom and his dad
are
the biggest helpers.
He's a self-help.
Yeah, I'm a musician. And, so then I'm a musician. Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking? I'm sorry.
No.
You're like Kylie Jenner. You just made it all yourself.
That's right.
That's common with the Jenners and the Kardashians.
That's Louie.
That is Louie.
All right, we're gonna move on. We wanna wrap it up with
thanks,
the show Louis. And
nice talking to you.
Okay, your name is Tracy.
Yeah. Good to talk to you.
Nice to meet you through the phone. On Friday I do the followers on Inner Sight. I'm going to do with Jerry Lewis, Rosanna. Also, I could do, my name is Vito Corleone, I'm looking to land a slug on the further. That's the best, Lou. You know that? That's
all
the
right,
best.
Thank you.
I love you, Suzanne. I'll call you mañana.
Okay.
Mañana.
All right.
Mañana. Okay, Lou. Take
love
care,
you, Suzanne.
Lou.
I got to get going.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Let
bye.
Me see if
Inner
I can
Sight.
Turn off the button here.
And we got about 5 minutes left. Any other callers on the line?
No, we're good. It was just Lou.
Okay. I wanna thank Tracy for being with us and.
Thank you, Tracy.
You're
been
a beautiful,
fun.
Beautiful person.
Sure.
I really respect you and, you know, really. Believe that your book is going to help a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I really hope that it does. And even if you don't read it, Frank, you buy it and you give it to a friend, okay?
I could do that.
Yeah, you can.
Maybe we ought to do some giveaways on
sure, I can give away a book. We'll give
them
a call.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I can give it. We can pick somebody now. If you want to wait a few minutes or if you want somebody to call in, whoever calls in, and you can send me their info, and I'll make sure they get the book. Okay?
Yeah.
Well,
you know, a friend of mine gave me an idea the other day. My dear friend Ira Tucker, who used to do public relations for Stevie Wonder. Ira and I have been friends for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like brothers, you know.
Yeah.
And he gave me an idea, something about doing a game type of thing on the show. For the
mm-hmm.
show we're doing on Wednesday on the nursing homes, how to get rid
yeah.
of horrible nursing homes, you know. So maybe
yeah.
the book would
mm-hmm.
work there.
It would, probably.
Well, you could ask people trivia about your guests. You know, people call in, you say, hey, ask them to call
yeah.
in and maybe do even, you know, there's a phone-a-thon, too. There's a phone
yeah.
drive where people call in, give some money. That can help your nursing home project, too.
Yeah.
But you could ask
well,
them
let's,
questions
let's
about
think
previous
about that,
guests
how we
on
can
the
hook
show.
That up, you know.
Yeah, maybe we could talk
yeah.
to her offline, Frank, and
sure.
talk about the nursing home thing and see how we can get it together. I think that would be an awesome task and project
because
she has a lot of good ideas. Yeah, it'd be helpful. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you for offering that, Tracy.
Yes, thank you.
Sure, no problem.
Now, before we go off, just give the info. The book comes out January?
January 7th, 2022. It's a perfect book for the new year to get motivated, get going, and, you know, taking these challenges and obstacles, making them into something that you can truly overcome and move past. My website is www.tracygarner.com. Tracy is T-R-A-C-E-E, Garner, my
oh,
last name,
okay.
G-A-R-N-E-R, .com, Tracy Garner. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. On Instagram and Twitter, I'm at T-Garner, T-E-E, Garner. And people can visit me there and come to my
yeah.
website, leave me a note. And the book is on Amazon, but it'll be across all platforms in January.
Yeah, and I'd like to take you up on that guide dog thing offer that you mentioned.
Absolutely. I welcome anyone who has stories that they want to share. We're going to do volume 2. I'm going to, you know, start curating that. There's a little letter
all right.
in the back of the book about how to contribute to volume 2. So people just have to
thank you so
me.
Much.
Contact me.
Tracy Garner, it's been an honor to have you on Inner Sight, and we hope
Tracy.
You'll come
thank
back.
Thank you. Thank you, Suzanne.
Especially when
you're
the
welcome.
Book comes out.
Yep.
And we will be looking forward.
Evening.
And Inner Sight means freedom. Advocates for the disabled, our phone number is 631-224. 3090. We'll be with you tomorrow night, 8 to 9, live on the Frolics. Thank you so much for listening, all of our 111,000 people and growing, and Inner Sight around the world. We're advocates for the disabled. Goodbye, world. Inner Sight. Good night, everybody. Thank you. Inner Sight. Inner Sight.
Good night, everyone.